Welcome to the worship service from Trinity Chapel in Seven Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We invite you to be a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website trinitychapelvirginia.com. That's trinitychapelvirginia.com. And now join us in the sanctuary of Trinity Chapel for today's broadcast.
I want to welcome everybody here today. By the way, for those that are new here or visiting for the first time, a couple of things I just want to share with you. Here at the church, and by the way, I'm going to turn this mic off for a second. Mark, can you hear me now, or is there still a problem back there? Wow. Of all the times. Well, we'll just work with one of these mics today. That's all right. I'm flexible. There are a lot of ways we support our church each and every week. Some people will mail something to the post office box, some will actually use online giving. And we have a little box in the entryway to the church for giving. But there's one thing we do not use. We do not use one of these. I don't pass a plate. And for those that are new, it goes back a number of years ago when I was pastor of a church in Florida. And I realized for this one lady that going through so many problems in her life, she didn't have any money, but she wanted to be in church, and she just felt so ostracized by not being able to support. And I made a vow to myself, I think someday I'm going to have a church where I can make the rule we don't have to worry about the plate. And then nobody has to worry about it. I'll trust God to reach the hearts of those who support the church. And guess what? He's been faithful. He's been faithful. So we do have these in the front. You know, if you want to put a gift in that and just drop it in the little box, that's fine. I just don't want to make a big production out of it. I'm having a hard time believing that we've been here just over a year. This past week, we celebrated 1 year of being in this building. Now, there's still a lot of work to be done in this building. I was having dinner last night. This building is still technically owned by the Nazarene Church District. And I was talking with the district superintendent. I said, these kneelers are impossible to use. They're made like rocks. And if you try to put a cushion on them, then you're too high up and this is too low and you're going to fall over. I said, I think I need to fix that. He goes, go ahead. Knock yourself out. I said, I'm looking at the ceiling. I'd like to see it in wood. Hey, that would look great. And he said, I can't wait till you come to, I've been invited to one of their pastors' conferences end of this month. And he wants to share just how God has, he said, we are in a unique partnership with Bishop Bierman and his congregation at Trinity. And he said, everybody in the Nazarene church body, he said, we feel so comfortable about this. This is your building. You do whatever you want to do with it. We pay all the bills, so they're not losing any money anymore. And they know they can't sell it right now. Someday we may buy it. You never know. But God has opened the door for this church to be here. My vision from the very, very beginning of this church was to be a church where people could come and be comfortable, to learn about Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and not ever feel intimidated. I'm not a legalistic person. I spent many years in a denominational background, which I technically still belong to a degree, believe it or not. Yeah, I'm the black sheep of that family, and I'm proud of it. I am not a curmudgeon, and I accuse a lot of those that I know as being curmudgeon-y. But I'm so glad to have so many of you here today. I wondered as we got ready for this service what it would be like. I know that following the service, there's supposed to be, according to Mark, a lot of good food downstairs, and I'm going to hold you to it, because I didn't eat much breakfast today. And that's a good thing for you folk. You know what? You know, you want to know why? That means this service will be done by noon. Because of streaming and because this service ends up being later on radio, one of the things that I have to be very conscious of is time. I can't go over or it gets cut off on the radio stations. So, and by the way, for those that are new here, this may be a little church in a little neighborhood in a little town called 7 Mile Ford, but back in February, and we had to make a little change on it, the Federal Communications Commission has authorized us a construction permit to build a Christian FM radio station at 93.3. And the call letter is already assigned WMYC, My Christian Station. And we hope to build it over the next few months. There'll be another radio station coming online up in Saltville, WSVL, Saltville and Light. And so for a little church, there's quite a little footprint. You see these cameras. When we started, God just laid on my heart to go ahead and stream. And because of the radio program I do, you would not believe the hundreds of people that see and hear this service each and every week via the internet. It's amazing. And so sometimes there are hundreds off Facebook and hundreds. I mean, just every. I'm surprised. The gal that normally does our bulletin, she just lost her husband on Friday. And we kind of knew that could possibly happen. But she lives in Ohio, and she started producing our bulletins for me to give me some time to do other things. And so I want to keep her and her family in prayer with this time of loss. I am so thrilled to have one of my good friends, Wendell, who's up here with this little computer. Normally, you don't see him because he, from North Carolina, he runs the cameras. Today, we're doing it, he gets to do it from here, along with his daughter. Now, today, we have some special music guests. Josh Gilbert, who's been here before, welcome back. What a ministry you have, and what a blessing you were the last time you were here. And so I'm really looking forward to that time that you share with us musically today. Before and after my message today, I've got somebody else that'll be joining with me. Now, for those that wonder, are young people motivated like there used to be? How many old codgers like me say, they're just not like we were in the day? How many are like that? Confess up. Look at her accomplishments. By the way, she'll be a senior this year. She's just finished her junior year. This is encouraging, and it shows me some hope. So I cannot wait to hear you sing shortly. And I think you're going to be very at home with this group today. I just have a good feeling in this room. I keep thinking of that one of my favorite songs is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And there is one here today. Also, hopefully it'll all work out that we have another group downstairs during our time of fellowship. And that'll be the group 1 of 10. And so we're looking forward to them performing as well. So what else can I tell you? Now, Mark, would you come on up here for a moment? And Josh, I need you up here too. And Hadley or Nix, as you like to go by, correct? I got to get it right. I'm trying my best. You know, when you get my age, grab a mic here.
Thanks.
I'll turn it on for you. Lady. For you, let's see if these say hello, make sure that they're all working.
Hello.
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 How many of you,
must be
I was trying to, when I was putting this service together, I was trying to think, what would be a great opening song? Not that you want to hear really me sing, I'm going to hide my microphone a little farther away. But I want you to all join with us if you can. The lyrics will be on the screen as you, as, what was it, Mitch Miller, you reminded me of, follow the bouncing ball. That goes back in time. I remember that. I was about this tall, but the lyrics will be on the screen. How many of you know the song, He Has Made Me Glad? One, two, three. Okay, we got a we four, five, maybe six. You'll probably go, oh, yeah, I know that song once it gets started. So let's stand together. The lyrics are on the screen. Mark, you can help lead. I'll do the best that I can with what I got to work with. Josh, I know you got plenty to work with, and so does Hadley or Nix. So let's worship our Lord with our opening song, He Has Made Me Glad.
In my heart, I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
Made
me glad.
Not bad. Let's go up a notch and make King here.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. For He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
He has made me glad.
He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
Well, that wasn't bad for a fruit, right? Give yourself a round of applause. Tell you what. Now that we've had a... Let's do it one more time.
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. For He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. For He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad.
Well, that was really good. Tell you what, be seated now as we get ready to hear. Our readings today, first lesson comes from the book of Haggai, one of those books you don't hear much of. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. In the second year of Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to the governor of Judah and to Joshua the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. It is time for yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin. Now this is what the Lord God Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you bought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin. While each of you is busy with your own house, therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the crops from the earth. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains and on the grain and on the new wine, the olive oil and everything else the ground produces, on the people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God with the message of the prophet Haggai, because their Lord God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. In your bulletins, if you have one, there's Psalm 122. Short psalm that I'd like us to read together. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, under the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. Our second lesson comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning at the 16th verse. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, the flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart into full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed pure white. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that is promised. And let us consider one another to provoke the time and to love to good works, not forsaking the assembling of thyself together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another as much the more as you see that day approaching. Now in a few minutes I'll read the gospel as we get ready for our message, but right now I'd like to ask Josh Gilbert to come to minister to us in song today on this special anniversary. So I give it to you, Josh, and what a great job you did the last time you were here, and what a blessing you are to this church. Welcome, Josh Gilbert.
Hey, thanks so much. Thank you for letting me come and worship with you guys. I'm going to share with you a song that's called Give My Life to You. And I've been blessed. God has given me opportunities to travel and to share music and to share my story and what he's done in my life in many places. And I just wouldn't even be here or be anywhere without him and his guidance. And so the message of this song I'm going to share with you this morning as we get started is about putting faith and trust in Jesus and not in yourself or your own making. And many times in my life, I've tried to work hard and make my own way, and many things have just fallen apart over and over again. I'm sure many of you guys have experienced different loss in your life, or financial ruin, or, you know, many different hardships. But at the end of the day, no matter what we do or how much we think we are building on our own strength, it just amounts to nothing without the strength of Jesus and without putting your faith in God to help you make it through. And that's what this song is about. It's just a simple song called "Give My Life to You."
And trials, you will refine me. You will refine me. All these heartaches and pains will not define me. They won't define me. I won't hold them to myself in the way that I used to be. Way that I used to be, yeah. I'll let go of my strings and I'll let your love carry me. Yes, I'll let your love carry me. I lay down my cares and worries. With you, Lord, there is no hurry. In your time, you'll make all things new. So I will give my life to you. Fire and chaos, you will deliver me. I surrender and know that you are my rescuee. It's your love that'll rescue me. All this death and destruction is gonna have an end. Don't you worry, it'll come to an end. In the sacrifice of your love, your way is redeeming. Yes, it's a redeeming. Oh, I lay down my cares and worries. With you, Lord, there is no worry. In your time, you'll make all things new. So I will give, I'm gonna give my life to you. Whoa, I'm letting myself go so I can let your love take all of me. Ooh, I'm letting myself go. I lay down my cares and worries, 'cause with you, Lord, there is no hurry. So take my soul and come on and make it new. And I will give, I'm gonna give my life to you. Yeah. I lay down my cares and worries, giving you, Lord, all the glory. Will give you, so give it all to you. love back. I won't hold my life back from you. I won't hold it back, Lord. Oh, you can have it all. Yeah. Have all of me. You can have it all. You can have it all, Lord.
I believe in what the Bible teaches. What did it say? Come before the elders of the church if you have a need and be anointed with oil. And I have learned, and I can remember when I, in my younger years, oh, that just sounds so weird. Until I saw how it works and how it can change people's lives. Amen. So, I don't even need to know what the need is. God already knows. We're going to open with a word. Would you start the prayer, and then we're going to anoint and pray for those who come to our mind over the next few minutes. So, Mark, would you start us in prayer?
Our Father, we come to you so thankful of who you are. We want to praise you for that because we know that's where it all starts. God, we praise you for who you are. You alone are good. You alone are God. There's none else like you. Anything good that we know of comes from you.
Amen.
And we praise you for that. Thank you for bringing that goodness into our lives. Lord, we praise you and thank you for all that you've done. And we know that comes from who you are. And we're here before you today to worship you and give you honor and praise because of who you are. And because of your love for us and your grace and your forgiveness for us. Lord, as I tell so many all the time, I know me. And I know that you know me. God, and to bestow such grace and forgiveness on me. Lord, I can only imagine how you love these people here today.
Yes.
God, and as we bring you these cares before you, we know it's not just a ceremony. We know it's just not just a something to pass time. God, we know that you're real and that you care for us and that you told us to cast our cares on you because you care for us. And you told us to come before you and to bring our cares, Lord, and to come before the elders of the church and be anointed. God, we praise you and thank you for this provision you've given us. God, how so many times, God, the scripture you just kept on my mind this morning and things that different people have said all morning just brings it true. Lord, you hold everything together. We praise you today and thank you and ask that you would just help us to always, Lord, remove the distractions. Lord, remove the cares of this life. Remove the foolishness of the sins of this world. God, and help us to open other people's eyes to you that they might see the glorious light of the gospel and be saved.
Now, those that are in need of prayer, I can come to you just as easy, and I'll anoint you for whatever your need is. God knows what the need is. So, who's first? I think you mentioned. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord, meet the need of this, your child, today. You know the need more than any of us here could ever begin to understand. Lord, I pray in the powerful name of Jesus that need be met today. To my friend Wendell, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, may the power of the Holy Spirit descend upon you at this moment. May you feel his power, his presence, healing strength from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be restored in all things and walk with the newness of life. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else on this side? Oh, yeah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, I pray the anointing brings down the power of your Holy Spirit upon this, your servant. Jesus, in your powerful name and by your blood, by your stripes, may all your this servant needs be met. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray the power of your Holy Spirit descend upon this, your servant. The need of this individual's heart, you know. And Lord, I know that you are able to meet that need in a powerful and mighty way that can never be denied. Lord, I pray the power of your Holy Spirit descend upon this, your servant. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Did I miss anybody? All right. I don't know about you, but I felt something happening in this room. Boy, a lot of churches could use that today. As we close this time of prayer, any particular need that needs to be prayed about? I know one of your friends.
Remember my niece.
Mm-hmm.
I have a niece that's awaiting a liver transplant. Appreciate your prayers for her.
Oh, Lord. Father, you understand that need. You understand all the dynamics. And Lord, I pray that that need be met. Lord, you alone are able. Lord, you can. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we make the transition from this time of prayer, going to get your correct. You got your mic, and I'm going to ask Hadley, who goes by Nix. That's her nickname. I want you to think for a moment, and I'm going to have to keep my message short. Look how the time is getting away. Aren't you lucky today?
Amen.
I knew somebody would have to. I think this song is so fitting. After this time of anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, I can only imagine. If we get just a taste of His glory here, I can only imagine what we can expect when we meet Him face to face. So please, I welcome you to sing, I Can Only Imagine.
I can only imagine.
worship you. I can only imagine.
Heavenly Father, as we take a few minutes today to gather around your word, I pray you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive all that you have for us today. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We are the church. Boy, I thought this would be a long message today because I thought I'd be starting a lot sooner than now. But that's all right. I'll just do an abbreviated version. Come back some other day, you can hear the rest. Everything I was going to say, everything I planned to say, evaporated as I sat over there listening to that song and just taking in everything that has happened in the past several minutes. We are the church. The message title stays the same, but the way we're going to deal with it is a little different. I've shared this before, and it's one of those fancy words you learn when you're in Bible school. I can remember studying for the ministry. I was in my 40s when God finally settled me down long enough to start the study process. I had enjoyed a life and another career, but God said, "You had enough. It's time to move on." And I learned a big fancy word early on called ecclesia. That's the word used for church. And it means those that are called out. The church is not a building. It's not an organization. It's not a club. It's not a business. It's people. It's you. It's I. We are the living body of Christ. Amen. All of us in here. And the sooner we understand that, the better off we're going to be as the church.
That's right.
I have learned... Look, I was raised as a kid, and I thank God for this. I look at the building and the place, and I'm going, man, how did you ever do this for me, Lord? To put me in this church building as a child that had a school, kindergarten through the eighth grade, no less, hundreds of students. I had that opportunity. I was raised learning and memorizing God's word from the time that I can barely remember anything. The first memory... I can remember one time coming home from church, and I guess I was maybe eight or nine, it was the summertime, visiting my grandparents' house, and a hymn resonated with this little nine-year-old, and I couldn't get it off my mind. My grandparents had a hymnal at home. I grabbed the hymnal, I looked it up, I remembered the number, and I memorized it. It meant that much to me. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow with ceaseless praise. These are the things that God would have me memorize as a child. Bible verses, hymns. And then I became a disc jockey and threw it all to the side for a while. And I discovered what it really means to be away from the body of Christ. It's an easy temptation to fall in. I'm going to tell you that right now. I'm living proof it can happen to anybody. In spite of everything that God gave me, the training, the upbringing, and all that I saw, that little bit of fame and glory that comes with a microphone and a switch and an on-air light and fans and people that call, it can change you. And all of a sudden, Sunday is your, I'm just too tired. And I can remember the time of the erosion. When I wasn't going as often as I should, and I went less and less. My career moved from on-air into engineering, and I always had an excuse why I couldn't go. How many remember that song? I'm trying to remember which Southern Gospel group did it. Made a fortune on that one called Excuses, Excuses. You hear them every day. Ever heard that one? The devil will provide them if from church you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folk away from church, he offers them excuses. In the summer, it's too hot. In the winter, it's too cold. You can look up the words. I fell into that trap of always having a reason, still holding a belief inside of me or thinking that I did, but I had a false sense of security because I was not a part of the body of Christ. I was not participating. I was not functional. I was useless. I was a detached finger or something. It doesn't do anything. I wasn't a part. And I can remember it as clear as day. This had been going on for probably 7-8 years. And one day I woke up and I knew something was horribly wrong. And I was emotional, I was upset, I was frustrated, I felt something is missing. Something is missing. I think of the words in the book of Haggai. You know, you have money, but it kind of falls out of your pocket. You grow crops and they kind of fail. You make new wine and it's never enough. No matter what you do, it doesn't seem to work. Something is missing. The lesson from Haggai is, you know, you build my house, you know, you got your own nice home over there. You got your McMansion. You got this. You got your new pickup truck. But what about me? My house is in ruins. You just let it sit there. It's one of the times that God's people actually listened to a prophet, which is probably good. Because what did they do? They went up to the mountain, they bought down the wood, and they built that house. And what did God do? He prospered them. I mentioned I was going to, and I'm going to, like I say, and trying to keep this message tied together for the purpose today. When I was trying to prepare this, God laid a scripture on my heart, and I'm going, so what does this have to do with We Are the Church, and why is this scripture? Why did I put it in the gospel lesson, and I never got a chance to read it until I was up there, and God said, just wait till you're giving the message. It's all going to make sense. God has a really bad habit of changing what I think is a great message. And it's on the fly. Matthew 18, verse 10. And I want you to, a lot has been already said, and I'm just going to kind of go through these verses, not all of them. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Some of you have heard this, but I'll say it in an abbreviated way. After God had gotten me straightened out and I'd spent a number of years back in his house, back working in his grace, and then working for a Christian college to build the radio ministry, that's when the door opened to go into ministry. I'd known I'd had that call since I was probably not much older than one of those. I kid you not. It'd always been there, but I never saw it. I never thought I'd ever get there. I had been pastoring a small church in North Carolina, commuting from Georgia every Sunday. 3 hours, no big deal. I was younger then. I could do it. Or maybe go Saturday night and then come back Sunday. And I had an opportunity to go to a much larger church. I was asked to audition. So I did. I went to this large church. I'm not going to say where. It was in North Carolina. It would have required a move because it was a full-time job. And I went there and I preached, and they liked what they saw, my ability to conduct the service and everything else. And then it came time for the Inquisition. You know, that's when the board gets together. You know, the call committee and the, you know, the church council, they you sit at this table, and it's now the Spanish Inquisition. And this one dear saint of God asked a question. What do you think about children in the church? I said, I think it's great. I'm tired of looking at old people. I was 40 when I said that. I said, your church's average age is like, what, 63 in the pews? Or is it 73? I can't quite figure it out. The guy that I was going to be replacing was 77. And he was one of the younger people. A church of means, but they had pretty well chased off the younger families. because they were so into their way, into their prayer book, into their hymnal, into what we do the way we want to do it. We don't care what God is saying. It's us. It's what we want. And I looked at my wife. She was able to come in there. I said, I don't think this is the church for us. I said, if you'll allow me to take our leave, we're going to go home now. You can look for somebody else. Because if you don't want children in this church, all you are is a prayer book burial society.
Amen. That's right.
You have nothing here to give to your community. That church over the years went through some really difficult times. You talk about down in the pits. And they had to experience a lot of perfectly planned funerals for things to change. Today, that church has a complete school. They went from a bunch of old people. The average age now is in their 30s. They are full of kids. And they're in the service. And they act like kids, like they're supposed to. You know, to me, this is music to my ears. You just don't understand.
That's right.
That if we don't have the young generation in this church, we're a one generation church or less.
Amen.
And I made a decision when I retired away from ministry years ago never to run a prayer book burial society. Never. I'm not wedded to a particular hymnal. I don't care about all these man-made aspects of the church. I was talking with a friend of mine. He said, how do you describe your church being that you're not functioning where you came from? And I said, I look at this church as interdenominational. Everything that all true Christians hold together and believe is what we do here. And I never emphasize the things that are not common, that are irrelevant, that are not important. And I said, that's the vision God laid on my heart. I think he's tired of all this division. Well, in our church, we have to, you know, I'm so tired of hearing that. It's not your church, it's his. You're just a part of the body. Stop claiming title to something you don't own. You may own the building, but without the Holy Spirit here, the lampstand is gone. There ain't nothing here to hold on to. You might as well be a spiritual moose club. I mean, seriously. Look, I don't want to go too long today because I know some of you are hungry. I could go on, but I'm going to just skip a few verses here. Verse 20, I think, sums it up. There have been times that my wife, Lori, and I, we come here and we wonder, will anybody show up today? We never know. And I understand thoroughly that we live in what I call a post-Christian time. You know what I mean when I say a post-Christian time? A time where I mentioned this on my radio program this past week. I can remember years ago hearing the President of the United States saying, we're no longer a Christian nation. A lot of people really got upset about that. But I hate to say it, he was right. Here are the numbers. 53% of the population of the United States claims no tie to any kind of faith or religion. They're kind of like, you know, maybe I was a Baptist, but I don't know what I am, but I don't go. Only 47% even claim that they are something. This is the most recent poll. Of that 47%, more than half are going to churches that have now rejected the scripture, rejected what the Bible teaches, and they are into their own social kind of gospels. You know, a man-made gospel about man-made things. A lot of them go to churches where it's all about, what am I getting today? How am I feeling today? It's not about what I'm giving to God today. Too many churches have become more, and I don't want to offend anybody in saying this, but sometimes they're more like an entertainment venue with a little side of Jesus and a pep talk. And I am determined not to be that. Oh, I love some of the newer music. Don't get me wrong. I'll use all of it. I love it all. You know, you can give me a pipe organ, you can give me a drum set. I don't care. As long as Jesus' name is praised, it doesn't matter to me. It never has. It never will.
Amen.
Because we are the church.
Amen.
We are the living body of Christ. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. Every one of you in here is a member of that body. Christianity is not a spectator sport. You don't come to be a spectator or a member of an audience. You are a living, breathing part of what this is all about. Everybody has a fundamental job. Everybody in here has a calling, and they may not know it. You know, there's that wonderful hymn I can remember as a child. Hark the voice of Jesus calling, who will go and work today? Fields are white and harvest ready. Who will bear the sheaves away? Long and loud the master calleth, rich rewards he offers thee. I remember memorized that song too as a kid. Who will answer gladly saying, here I am, send me, send me. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a seminary professor. You can be a mother that will teach children about the Word of God. You can be the one that makes coffee. You can be the one that helps get bulletins together. All the little things that make the thing come together each week. I do a lot of it. I love to get rid of those off my plate to spend more time getting ready for this. God gave us a building. God gave us a place in the most miraculous way. And even if I was talking yesterday, saying, man, I'd like to change out this ceiling and the lights and this and that. And it was, yeah, go for it, do it. Just pretend it's all yours anyway, because it really belongs to God. And we're just in a ministry partnership together. So do as you need. That's right. What a way to be. Not even my denomination, not that I care, and not that they care. It's just this interdenominational idea. What have all Christians agreed on? The other day, we kind of shared the creed, the Apostles' Creed, and all this is what we share. This is what we do. Every couple of weeks, we have communion. And I think it's more than just a symbol. There's a lot more going on underneath the surface with communion that I think we sometimes give it credit for. It's a means of grace that we come so close to our Savior, and He comes close to us. When you hear the words, and a lot of people misunderstand it, do this in remembrance of me, the word that comes from the Greek is anamnesis, meaning bringing into the present the things of the past, those things that actually happened. Bring them now. Because see, our God transcends time and space. And so anytime we gather at that table, we are gathering with the disciples and all Christians that have come before and will come after. We are unified at that moment. And so God gave that for a reason. No, we're a simple church. Verse 20 sums it up. Where two or three are gathered in thy name, there I am in the midst. I'm going to do something I haven't done in a long time. I'm going to close the message early. Actually, this is about average, close to average. I'm not that long-winded. I try to just, for those that are visiting, you heard it last week. A lot of you folk didn't hear it. There was a pastor that influenced my life as a child. Dynamic pastor. I mean, this guy always wore the collar and all that, and Missouri Synod Lutheran, German to the core, but believed. What a believer. And he could preach even as a child. You were spellbound and you were taken into another place. He had that kind of talent. And I always said, I wish God, if I could be even 1% as good as Ed Stammel, if I could ever have that talent, I'd be good. And I can remember when I was a teen, or actually I was probably in college, and before he had retired, he and I were talking. I said, I've thought about going into the ministry. I said, but the way you preach, what is the secret? What is the secret of your preaching? Oh, you're going to love this one. He said, a good sermon is like a woman's skirt, long enough to cover the subject and short enough to be interesting. And so with that, I bring this message to a close. I hope that I kept your interest, and I hope you learned something today. I hope that the power of the Holy Spirit came through His word, not my words. When we think of the God that we serve, what a great God. Amen. And one of my favorite hymns is what I'd like to use to close, and I've asked Hadley or Nix to come up here to sing once again. And I would invite you, even on the chorus, the words will be up on the screen. I'm sure many of you know it. How many of you know the hymn, How Great Thou Art? This is the God that we serve. Hadley, would you lead us in song now?
Worship service from Trinity Chapel in 7 Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We want to thank you for being a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website trinitychapelvirginia.com. That is TrinityChapelVirginia.com. And we invite you to join us next week at the same time for another service from Trinity Chapel.